Upsala Podcast Episode 2, Domain-Specific Modeling with Juha-Pekka Tolvanen. The Upsala Podcast brings you up to speed on topics covered at this year's Upsala Conference, which takes place in October 2008 in Nashville, Tennessee. For more information, visit the website at upsala.org. The Upsala Podcast is co-produced by Software Engineering Radio and Dim Sum Thinking. And here is your host for this episode, Software Engineering Radio's Markus Felter.
Welcome, listeners. Welcome to the Upsala 2008 podcast. In this podcast, we are going to discuss various Upsala program elements, keynotes, workshops, and stuff that we think are interesting for you and make you come to the conference. Today, we are talking about the DSM workshop, the workshop for domain-specific modeling. And with us on the line is Juha-Pekka Tolvanen.
Hi.
Why don't you give us a little introduction about domain-specific modeling and what the workshop is all about?
Basically, the domain-specific modeling workshop is now eight that we are running. We started 2001 and have been running the workshop since then. And the focus of the workshop is on how we can raise the level of abstraction to improve the productivity of developers and also the quality of the outcome. And the key increment here is having a dedicated modeling languages and code generators to produce the required output from these high-level designs created with these domain-specific languages.
So, as people might know, I'm also working in this field. I actually submitted a paper to the workshop, so I know a little bit about the topic.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The point is I'm trying to make is that there are a couple of other terms that people might know that are related, right? Model-driven development, model-driven software development, visual modeling, MDA, all that stuff is related, right?
Correct. Maybe what makes this workshop a little bit different is that the focus is really on using problem domain abstractions in the language. Nowadays, when the domain-specific language has become a fashionable topic, people are calling quite often whatever they do as a language level, they call it domain-specific. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the language, you can't identify the domain for which purpose the language was created. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, if we are using a modeling language for a mobile phone and making the mobile phone applications, we could expect to see in the modeling language phone-specific concepts like displays, soft key buttons, phone calling, navigation. So people can easily see that these language concepts are actually dedicated for mobile phones only. Mm-hmm. If the area is in a home automation system, we might have a totally different kind of content in the language, like different kind of sensors, gas sensors, smoke detectors, door keys, and such things.
If you're kind of emphasizing that, then I guess there must be some other kind of modeling which you kind of don't see being part of the workshop. Can you like distinguish the domain specific from the probably general purpose or generic modeling?
So basically, we don't consider so much plain UML diagrams to be domain specific. Like the author of the UML books usually say that the language is general purpose, so it doesn't matter what kind of system you are building when you're using UML, the basic UML as a language. Mm-hmm. And usually people use those UML diagrams for communication or for illustrating, let's say, class structures. And some people may argue that that's already a domain, might be, but usually generating code from class diagrams into class code helps very little in terms of productivity and usually doesn't raise the level of abstraction. If people then start to extend the base meta model by modifying the UML meta model or adding more information to that.
So you're talking about profiles,
right? Profiles. So with profiles, we can extend. We can't take anything away, basically. We may hide, but usually we extend. Then it's already step taken towards the domain specificity. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. We have plenty of UML papers, and basically people wanting to use UML and try to extend that for different needs. And those papers are welcome.
Yeah. And of course, also the boundary is somewhat blurred, right? Because, for example, I submitted something on, I think, architecture modeling. in which case the domain is software architecture. Now, it is in some sense generic because it's not limited to the architecture of mobile phones or the architecture of smart home or, you know, home systems.
Yes.
But it is specific in the sense that it contains very specific architectural abstractions, and this, it is much closer to the problem domain than a typical 3GL.
Yes. And in the area of automotive or architecture description language in general, there's many domain-specific languages. For example, AADL, mostly eliminated by US on avionics and automotive description languages, where the modeling concepts deal with issues like processes, processors, thread groups, threading, and things like that. Whereas in other architectures, like, let's say, AUTOSAR, automotive architecture, such a concept doesn't exist at all. We have totally different kind of idea what an architecture is about.
Can you give us an idea of what's going on in the workshop? If I remember correctly, it's actually 2 days, right?
Yes, yes.
So what do you do all those 2 days?
Originally, we started with 1 day. Mm-hmm. But then the interest to this topic has increased, so we get quite a large workshop. So we had last year 50 people involved, maybe 25 papers or so. And we thought that it's not enough to squeeze everything in 1 day, especially because we don't want to have a mini conference, a paper presentations, but we would like to do something interactive. So we want to follow the success pattern, at least from the past, in that respect that we want to have group work sessions so people can choose topics like exchange their experiences or look how to deal with language evolution and have a focused discussion groups, 5-8 people, and then spend a half a day and reporting on those findings so people can do also something productive and get others' opinions on how to design, for example, languages or how to make generators more modular and such topics.
And do you already have some of those topics? You already mentioned a couple, right? Language evolution, I guess scaling the overall approach is one. And as you say, modularization of generators. Are there other things that are on your mind that you would like to see discussed?
Yes, usually we always ask the audience to decide what are the topics. And one of the things that actually strikes me is that people normally say that there's a good theory behind and practices on how to make compilers, but how about having a good theory on how to design languages, like modeling languages? So this year it would be very nice if we can flesh out some of the key principles on creating domain-specific languages, which we collect by sharing experiences and discussing over the group work sessions.
So that sounds to me like kind of collecting best practices or maybe even sketching some patterns.
Yes. And a part of the group work session is that everybody doesn't agree. Mm-hmm. And there's always some interesting reasons why people have different kind of experiences. Usually they are building a certain kind of systems, which then explains why they have a certain attitude. And finding out those reasons for different opinions is actually the fruitful part of the group work.
It's a little bit like the discussion we've had a number of times about model-to-model transformations, where we noticed after a while that I'm a consultant, so I want to reuse stuff between customers, whereas you are a tool vendor, so your interest is somewhat different, right?
Yes, yes. And so there are different kind of roles people have in the area of domain-specific languages, and they have different focuses.
Yeah.
However, I would like to emphasize that this workshop is totally tool-independent.
Sure.
So it's not specific to any particle tool. And there has been maybe 4 or 5 different kind of tools already presented in the past. And I think that there's a couple of proposals or framework proposals for second generation tools, domain-specific modeling tools as well. So everything is welcome.
So this is actually a nice segue into the next discussion point I've written down here, which is, what are some of the trends in domain-specific modeling? What can you tell from the submissions? You know, you talked about those second generation tools. What's going on in the area?
In general, if I look at the papers over the past years, what's more and more now are example languages that people have been building. What we haven't get so much yet are experiences or empirical work that people had really compared the practices. There are a few of them that people have done the same system again, usually small tests, but something bigger is still waiting. And also there are work on the tool integration things and also work on integrating different kind of representations, like, let's say, maps to diagrams or diagrams to text or text to matrices and things like that.
Yeah, that's also something I noticed, you know, the problem of writing code generators, which novices often see as the central challenge. That's not something that's talked about much because it kind of just works. And the community evolves in you know, towards discussing things like, as you mentioned before, model evolution, mixing notations, and doing these some advanced things that you will notice are a problem if you do it in real world.
Yes.
So how can people participate? The paper submission deadline is already over. Is there another way to, you know, sneak into the workshop and take part in those discussions? Or
basically, the door is open. So people are welcome to join and have a seat. And we plan to have a mix of the program, that we do something on paper level, presentation level, maybe demonstrations of different languages, and then we go into group work sessions or other lively discussions like a goldfish bowl, where everybody basically can attend who has something to say.
And if somebody wants to participate, they contact you, or, you know, how do they do it?
The best guidance is in the workshop webpage, and I think that it also includes email. So dsm08@dsmforum.com.
Okay, is there anything else you want to let our listeners know about the workshop? Any more advertising, why it's great to join?
Well, I have basically two things for practitioners. Come and see working examples and see how different industry people are already applying technology. The nice thing in this workshop is that this has a nice mixture. Half of the people are practitioners and half are academics. On the other hand, for academics, this is also a good workshop because we have been running a special issues in journals, and some of the previous workshop publications have all went to the publication in the journal as well. And we plan to do this next year too, to have some highly visible publication forum for papers on domain-specific languages and domain-specific modeling in general.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by the idea of actually really collecting a consistent set of best practices and maybe creating some kind of pattern language or pattern collection from that. That would be interesting to do.
Yes, definitely. Especially when so many people had already been building so many languages. For instance, last month I was speaking in a conference in Chicago and discussed about the benefits of this approach. And someone from the audience said that we have been building these kind of tools in the embedded area, and we have a 20-fold productivity increase.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be great to get those people to explain how they have done it.
Yep. Yeah, and the good thing about patterns is that a good pattern description always contains a context and an applicability description. In other words, the different roles and the different viewpoints we talked about before, you know, different people looking at things differently, those will become explicit in the pattern's description. So some of the, you know, ineffectiveness in the discussions might go away by making those things explicit.
I totally agree.
So that would be really worthwhile doing. Okay, then, JP, thank you very much for being on the podcast, and I guess see you at Uppsala.
Yes, thanks for giving this opportunity, Markus, and see you in Nashville.
Absolutely. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Uppsala podcast. If you want to know more about the conference or would like to listen to additional podcast episodes, visit the Uppsala website at uppsala.org. This episode, as well as all other Uppsala podcast episodes, are licensed under a Creative Commons license.